Intelligent Medicine is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and healthy eaters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to support the show and see if you qualify. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're with Layla Mutin, who is our nutritionist. And together, we team up to answer your questions, much in the same way as we address the questions of patients who come to our office in Manhattan. So, and Layla, of course, you have your own podcast. What are you talking about this week?
Oh, I'm talking about, well, first of all, I weighed in on the so-called best diets that were rated for 2018. I weighed in on that. I also talked about, somebody brought up the Iowa Women's Health Study, where vitamins cause increased mortality, and how you actually debunked that many years ago on an article, and I referenced some of points, which you really elucidated.
Well, it's time to resurrect that,
I think. Yeah, it's time to resurrect that, but because it's still being told to patients by the doctors.
Zombie-like, it keeps coming back. It's like Night of the Living Dead, or,
We keep having to pop these balloons.
What's that series about the zombies?
Is it The Walking Dead?
The Walking Dead, yeah.
Like
The Walking
Dead.
Walking Dead.
I don't watch.
You don't watch?
Okay. I see The Walking Dead on the streets of Manhattan, people watching their favorite TV shows on their cell phones while they're walking and crossing the avenue. Anyway, so.
And they look a little gray this time of year, yeah. So, okay, so our next question.
Yes, is from Tom. Dr. Hoffman, I would like your opinion on saw palmetto for BPH. I have read that it works somewhat or that it has nothing more than a placebo effect. I've also read that it reduces libido because it reduces DHT. And then I just read the opposite. I'd like your opinion on that. My doctor put me on alfusosan for BPH, but I was wondering if there was anything natural I could take to improve urine flow and reduce urgency.
Okay, so first, the comment is that alfusosan is the generic name for, I think, Rapaflow, which is, it's not actually something that shrinks the prostate, but it works on urinary frequency through the nerves. It's what's called an alpha blocker, and it blocks certain nerve impulses. It also has a bit of a blood pressure lowering effect. So, this is all related to nerve function. And if you block certain nerves down there, you have less of the sensation of urgency and you pee less. So,
I could see how that might work against you.
Well, the way it works against you is that it is.
Thinking incontinence.
The properties are, it's anticholinergic. So it targets, hopefully just your urinary tract, but actually it can have other effects on the brain. Mm-hmm. It can dry your mouth. It can cause constipation.
Yeah.
These are some of the side effects that are associated with that. And anticholinergic meds are not good for people who have the onset of dementia because it can kind of rapidly worsen their dementia. And unfortunately, many older people have urinary problems or are a little bit, they have less cognitive reserve, shall we say. And these medications can tip them in the direction of, worsening dementia. So, the medications are, they barely qualify as effective. There's a bit of a placebo effect whenever you prescribe these things. And they're advertised a lot on TV, like the guy's at the ball game and like there's an important play going on and he's got to run to the bathroom, or the woman at the theater and, she's watching her grandkids on stage and all of a sudden she's got to run off to the ladies' room. They're highly advertised because we've created a disease category, which is, OAB, overactive bladder. Mm. In the old days, it was like, hey, I gotta go.
Now
you take a, a prescription med, I guess it may come in handy if you got a long drive or something like that. And, I really felt bad for the people in this situation. I was traveling this over the holidays and I was in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, these cop cars and emergency vehicles and fire trucks go tearing up the highway, on the right and left margins of the road. And sure enough, the traffic stopped, went to a dead stop. And I there was something calamitous going on just a few miles ahead of us. And we stopped. And we had no idea what was going on. And we waited, we waited, and we waited for 2 solid hours. People in cars.
The parking lot.
And it was cold, too. Oh. And so I'm thinking, like, some people, they're by the roadside. They've got to go to the bathroom. And it's like sitting in the car. And, you know, fortunately, I'm not at the stage where, you know, I'm not, you know, but it was unpleasant.
Carry an empty bottle.
Yeah, right.
That or depends on your garments. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, in the future, I mean, that is, I guess that is a bit of a potential traveling mishap that you got to, you know, think about. There's a possibility of that happening. Anyway, so coming back to the question, you know, will saw palmetto work in this context? Well, saw palmetto is something that has been used a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's got something, as this guy says, it has 5-HT blocking capabilities. Now, 5-HT is the so-called bad testosterone.
Yes.
That is...
dehydrotestosterone.
It's DHT. It's DHT. 5-HT is something else. It's dehydrotestosterone, which is the so-called bad testosterone. And drugs like Proscar and Zo... what's it called? With a Z. I'll remember it in a minute. But it's sort of eclipsed Proscar in popularity.
Is that finasteride?
Well, that finasteride is Proscar.
It is Proscar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so those medications have, as the medications, where saw palmetto is a weak DHT blocker. Mm. So it's going to have less side effects than the medications. It's going to be less effective than the medications. The medications have the side effects that they can cause some gynecomastia, some breast enlargement in men, but not invariably, a small percentage of cases. It can have an impact on libido, but studies show that, you know, maybe that's 10-20%. Mm-hmm. It can have, it helps your hair grow on your head. You know, because it blocks testosterone.
Yeah.
So, Avodart is the other medication.
Oh, Avodart.
Avodart. Okay. Avodart. I don't know why. I think it starts with a Z, but it's Avodart.
Uh huh.
And that's a medication that shrinks the prostate, but it's also frequently now used for hair loss.
Hmm.
But you know, when you have urinary frequency, it is often in men associated with an enlarged prostate.
Uh-huh.
But it could also be a change in the nerves down there. You know, things change. It could also be related to an allergy, a bladder allergy or bladder intolerance. You know, people have success sometimes in eliminating certain foods like caffeine, alcohol,
spicy foods.
Yeah, which are bladder irritants. Sometimes we have success in dealing with people who have overactive bladder by telling them to go on an elimination diet of the potential irritants.
Mm-hmm.
In children, you know, who have enuresis, which is nighttime urination, often elimination of dairy can be helpful, interestingly.
Wow.
But that's a different thing. So obviously, that's not a prostate problem at such a young age, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, did we answer his question, you know, in terms
so.
Of side
your
effects?
I think so. Your opinion on saw palmetto. Else to take for urine flow?
Bottom line, I take saw palmetto, but I didn't take it after the onset of prostate problems. I take it because it's a miserable thing for men to start having an enlarged prostate.
Yeah.
It causes all kinds of urinary problems later on, and it's a real messes with your lifestyle. And so I took it preventively, and, you know, knock wood, I don't have the holding capacity of a 20-year-old, but it seems to be somewhat preventive. I think that's the way that it's best utilized, as a preventive.
Yeah.
If you have a very enlarged prostate, it's like 3 times normal size, I'm not sure if taking saw palmetto is going to fix it.
Yeah.
He wants to know if other things are helpful for that condition. I don't
Nettles,
know.
Nettles, pumpkin seed oil, or is that just for the health of the prostate?
So much on radio is about these products that help men with, you know, nighttime urination and, you know, urinary frequency. And, you know, I got to say, they're not such a big whoop. They're not that effective.
Really? Okay.
But there's a big placebo effect there.
Yeah.
If you think you're taking something that helps, you know, it may subjectively make you think it helps.
Yeah. So much of that is a belief system.
So the other thing, just to comment on frequent urination, is that you can kind of recondition yourself. Experiments have shown that if you they gave experimental volunteers a normal urination, a little buzzer. And they said, as part of this experiment, you know, whether or not you have to go to the bathroom, you should urinate every hour, you know, when the buzzer goes off. And so they trained them to urinate every hour. And what they found is that they reduced there, once they removed the buzzer, they had more urinary frequency because they kind of diminished their bladder capacity, or they may have hypersensitized their bladder to the sensation of fullness of urine present in the bladder.
Wow.
And so you can sort of retrain or detrain yourself. It's a little problematic if you like hold your urine for too long, and you know, you've got that's not good either, because actually cause backflow into the kidneys.
Right, that's dangerous. Wow, fascinating.
So this is a good point at which to pause, mm-hmm. because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share a message with you. So here goes.
As a health conscious person, you're going to love our new sponsor, Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, healthy eaters, and more. The Health IQ Advantage is their unique mortality model on the health-conscious and lower rates for health-conscious people, like a good driver savings on auto insurance. They also have unique underwriting that's tailored to the needs of the health-conscious, so things like having an adverse family history won't typically drive your rates up. You can actually qualify for up to 33% savings by doing things like taking a Health IQ quiz and scoring elite, having a membership to a qualifying association or gym for more than 1 year, and more. Health IQ believes the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health conscious rather than penalizing those who are not. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Hoffman or mention the promo code Hoffman when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Even if you don't qualify, Health IQ will use their world-class underwriting team and shop the nation's top 30 carriers to get you the lowest retail rate in the market. So don't miss your chance to save up to 33% in your life insurance, and check out healthiq.com/Hoffman to see if you qualify today.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors, because they are literally what keeps this podcast on the air and available to you as a free resource. So support our sponsors, and please listen to their messages, because we select them very carefully, and we insist on certain quality standards from them.
Okay, we've got an email from Vincent. Dr. Hoffman, how would you treat somebody with sciatica? If an operation is needed, is this a very serious operation?
This is a huge question. And, you know, there are so many approaches to back problems, the ultimate being surgery.
Mm.
But, you know, recently, I would point you in the direction of a good book called Crooked.
Mm.
And it's superbly named because people have, you know, crooked backs have undergo procedures sometimes of dubious benefit. And there are entire professions that are based on addressing this more or less successfully. Mm-hmm. Chiropractic profession. Some of the chiropractors are, you know, perhaps unscrupulous in, you know, overreaching claims of providing relief to patients. But I'm a believer in chiropractic. I think it's mm-hmm. beneficial. I think that the best approach to back problems, unfortunately, is to prevent them from happening in the first place. It's a preventive approach. And, you know, once you have sciatica is usually, by the way, a self-limited, problem, and then it responds to physical therapy.
Mm.
And, you know, it's not so much a problem of that your back is structurally messed up. It is, but you develop guarding and a muscle spasm around that really further compresses the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And pain is a message that your body receives as a need to stabilize your spine. So it, in an effort to prevent damage to your spine, so you spasm further, and you have to break this cycle of spasm. Antispasmodic medications are terrible. They don't really work. Most, you know, over-the-counter pain medications don't work. Advil is minimally effective. Tylenol is not at all effective.
Wow.
Opiates are horrible because they, you know, ultimately, you actually amplify the back pain because you become mm-hmm. addicted. And then when you feel a little pain, you just reward yourself with an opiate.
Yeah.
And it's a vicious cycle. You know, is there a potential for CBD or medical marijuana to alleviate the pain? Yeah. I think it's less addictive.
Wow.
You know, manipulative therapies, acupuncture. Both of us do yoga in an effort to prevent ourselves from developing
back pain. I've even
heard
anecdotally that people who have had sciatica and they do yoga and it's gone, and they do yoga and they're believers.
I think there's a website called sciatica.org that has yoga exercises for back problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can, you know, I can look that up more momentarily, but that's a place to start. I would use surgery as a last resort. I think there's some circumstances where you need to have surgery. If you're having a real loss of sensation that is long lasting in one limb, it means that the nerve is really seriously compromised and, you know, could be further damaged if it's not decompressed.
Wow.
So, you know, is the surgery a big surgery? Well, it depends, you know.
I think all back surgeries are big surgeries.
And the problem, too, is there's this matter of failed back surgery. And failed back surgery is pretty common. Mm-hmm. Is that you undergo surgery and it provides temporary relief. It always does. But that 5 years later, the statistics show that you're probably as in the same boat as people who have not had surgery at all.
Yeah.
So one study that I pay attention to is a study of people who were earmarked for, they were scheduled for elective back surgery. And they said, wait 6 months. And one half of the group will give like high dose fish oil. We have like 6 fish oil capsules a day.
Uh-huh.
And this showed that about half the people who were scheduled for surgery, who took the fish oil, did not need the surgery. And far superior to the people who just waited it out for 6 months.
Wow.
That was done by...
Terrific.
I forgot to take my ginkgo this morning. But, you know, it's sometimes hard to remember the names of these people. It's done by the guy who, he was actually recently portrayed in a movie about the CTE. He was the neurosurgeon for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he, doctor with an M.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
It's not, okay.
But anyway, he showed that, fish oil could actually ameliorate the inflammation and disc swelling associated with sciatica. It's a disc compression disorder in the back.
And fish oil is one of the most powerful anti-inflammatories, so that absolutely makes sense. So, all right. Vincent, we hope you feel better soon. And yes, surgery should probably be a last resort. Physical therapy. Physical therapy is a wonderful thing.
Okay. Dr. Joseph Maroon is the name of the guy.
Dr.
I knew
Joseph
it was with an M.
Maroon.
Joe Maroon, he was... they cast him as a villain in that movie about, you know, that he, as if he encouraged players to play through concussions. And it was a really misrepresentation. He is an expert on concussions, and he actually set up a computerized system to determine concussion severity and the timing for return to contact sports. And it's being used by the National Football League, National Hockey League, Major League Baseball, NASCAR, and 12,000 colleges and high schools. He's a good guy. Team neurosurgeon at the Pittsburgh Steelers for 20 years, and interested in nutrition.
That's why he's a bad guy in the movies.
I don't know. No, maybe that's how they, maybe he just felt he, you know, like Linus Pauling, he was great until he endorsed vitamin C, and then all of a sudden he became a quack.
Yeah. Yeah. And he touted fish oil, Dr. Maroon.
Yes, he did.
Yes, so.
Is there such a thing as a short question?
I don't think so. But maybe, let me just throw this one at you.
Yeah, throw me a question.
So this comes from.
Throw me a bone.
This comes from Virginia.
Yep.
And this is about your article, Dr. Hoffman, 25 supplements for high blood pressure, and especially in part two.
That's a simple answer.
Yeah. So you eat the dark chocolate for 8 weeks to see if blood pressure goes down. And then what does it take to keep it lowered? Is it that simple? dark chocolate
I think
for
you're
eight
being,
weeks.
You're being a little too literal in terms of following that instruction. So studies have shown that cocoa flavanols.
Yeah.
Have the effect of relaxing the endothelium. They're have antioxidant effects, and they seem to have endothelium relaxing effects, like many compounds. Resveratrol from red wine, and so it's part of a program that. And some people say, you know, I wrote 25 things. They go, so what do I do? So what am I supposed to do? Where do I start with? So the answer
can I just
is,
eat chocolate?
No, it's you know, you can use selectively a combination of these things to make sure you have adequate vitamin D. Take fish oil, take chiolic aged garlic extract, eat, you know, certain foods that have beneficial effects on blood pressure.
Yes. Get down to a healthy weight, exercise.
Yeah, you know, and then we talked about diet, and we talk about low-carb diet and ketogenic diet and paleo diet as being beneficial, perhaps more beneficial than the DASH diet, which comes back to the original thing that you talked about, you know, in part one, which is, you know, you're sort of
best diets
ripping on Consumer Reports, which continues to suggest that the DASH diet, which is a carbohydrate-laden diet and a very low-fat diet,
Whole grains, best diet. Yes.
You know, and it's so behind the times. But hey,
it really is.
You know, Consumer Reports, you know, I mean, so many bumsters. We were unloading on them about warning people against green tea because of its hepatic toxic effects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's an unwarranted exaggerated concern.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, and they never ask anyone who's in clinical practice, you know, for advice. I never had an outreach from Consumer Reports like, our experts are telling us to be concerned. What's your take on it? And then we could have a back and forth, like a balanced journalistic article. But no, they only want to listen to the people who...
Balanced journalism?
No. Let's forget
What's
about that?
That.
Yeah, I know. It's...
You
only get balanced journalism if you read the New York Times or the...
Or the Washington Post?
Or the Wall Street Journal. Then you get balanced journalism.
Oh, okay.
Okay. sarcasm intended.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I think we've reached the end of the line. Before we get into too much trouble, let's call it quits. And a reminder, you can send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's the destination for questions about health, nutrition, vitamins, supplements. And we'll do our best to answer them next week. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, everybody.
And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.